Well, it's great to welcome you back tonight to Deeper Into the Word. And it's great to have another guest this evening, Dr. Andrew Collins. Andrew is a clinical psychologist and also a committed biblical counselor. And he's been a great friend of the church over many years. Some of you might remember the series he did on stress, anxiety, and grief. And tonight he's going to help us connect Christ and culture and living in this world as Christians. He's going to help us think through the stress of this world, applying the Bible to this world, vaccines in this world, and a number of other topics. So really hope you'll enjoy as Keith interviews Andrew tonight.
Well, Andrew, thanks for joining us today for our Deeper Into the Word as we consider how to connect Christ and culture. Andrew, you are lots of things. You are a biblical counselor. You are an elder in the church, and you are a husband. You are a father. So it's great to be able to pick your brain today. But if you could sum up your life in lockdown in three words, how would you do that?
That's tricky, Keith. Three words. Gosh, I mean, how do we sum up anything today in three words? But I guess, Keith, one of the words would be probably more towards the beginning of all of this, anxiety. I think like many folk, the stress of change, the upheaval, even in work in the health service, even away at the beginning, if you remember way back, you know, all the images we were seeing around the world, Italy and so forth, of illness and services being sort of overwhelmed. There was a genuine threat, in a sense, in all of that. So there was an anxiety, I think, for all of us at the beginning, and I certainly felt that as well. I would say maybe then another word that kind of maybe came in further down the line would be weakness. Maybe both by kind of summertime and then again by Christmas, I was personally just feeling pretty tired, pretty kind of worn out. And I would say that sort of weariness and struggle was also within the family, with the kind of prolonged homeschooling and kids missing their social opportunities, and my wife Nicola having to carry us all through it, in a sense, you know, we were all feeling kind of fairly weak by that stage. Maybe a third word I would choose then, this will sound a bit clunky and a bit funny, but the word intention. And it's why that word? I suppose for me, it's been definitely a time when, and I guess like all of us, when fellowship with brothers and sisters and even care within the church has required a lot more intention. Those normal opportunities haven't been there. And it's amazing, in a sense, when you have to then, in a sense, force yourself, drag yourself to make contact with people, how much effort that can really take. And I think that reveals something, I think, within me of that, I guess, you know, that I really did need to make that effort and that intention just to move towards people, to do a simple thing. And I was struck, in a sense, by how I had to wrestle with that in a way, Keith. So I think those three words in some way would sum of the experience up.
That's so helpful, Andrew. And I think we're going to be touching on all of those words as we continue our conversation. In your work, in your life, Andrew, as you look at how the pandemic has affected just society at large or culture at large, how do you think it's affected us sort of as a Northern Irish society here?
Yeah, I mean, wow, again, big questions. Again, maybe to think of some of the bigger sort of things that have happened, Keith. Again, at the beginning, particularly major disruption and uncertainty at the beginning of this pandemic, life just changed unrecognizably. And I think for a lot of us, as I've mentioned there, it was generally a time of stress. You know, we were seeing a lot more kind of anxiety sort of coming through. Even versions of anxiety like OCD were sort of heightening at the beginning, especially all of the messages around, you know, avoiding infection and cleaning and so forth. But beneath all of that, you know, I think whenever there's disruption and uncertainty happening around you, it brings out fear, if you like, in terms of your response. So I think that was maybe one broad area. I think other sort of things that we saw happening at one level, a certain intensification in terms of some relationships, you know, families plunged together. And that was raising tensions, you know, just the everyday accumulating of tensions as everybody was kind of suddenly hurled together in all of this. The hard end of that would be a rise in things like abuse within homes. I actually just heard a headline last night about some abuse helplines and charities recording a 50% increase in their in calls over the last year. And that's bound to be reflected in church as well as broader society. And I think that's been down to that just intensification that happened. But there's been a flip side, I think, to that, because the flip side to that intensification for some people has been isolation for others. And so there's been loneliness. At a friend who, a single person, who just reflected recently that it had been almost a year since she had human touch, experienced human touch, which is an incredible thing when you think about it. So even though she's met people because of distancing and so forth, you know, there hasn't been actual sort of physical touch. And so we shouldn't underestimate that experience of loneliness for some people. And then you think of the church, Keith, and I think one of the best ways we can think about sort of how the whole pandemic has maybe affected the church is that we're so used to what we call the structures, the organization of church, what's been called the trellis work, you know, the trellis and vine sort of picture of church life, the vine, you know, the living, organic, growing bit of it, the trellis work, more the structure, the organization, the meetings that it all kind of grows on. And what's happened, I think, in the last year is that trellis work has just been either blown away completely, certainly rearranged very, very radically. It's still there to a degree with Zoom meetings and live streaming and that kind of thing. At times we were able to get back meeting in person, but the trellis work has been just in many ways kind of, for some people, just completely taken apart. And I think it's been harder for us then to trace where the vine is at, because the trellis work has been so kind of disrupted, you know. So those are, yes, some thoughts just about kind of how this whole time has affected us both societally and as a church. Yeah,
yeah, no, and that's so helpful to get your perspective on that. And I think the need more than ever to connect Christ to the wider culture, to society, to some of those situations that people find themselves, but also for us to connect Christ back into the church. And, you know, there's possibly some repenting for us to do for even having to connect Christ to his church again. Yeah. But where do you think we can go to in scripture to seek to find help in some of these areas as we seek to connect Christ to church again, to the wider culture as well?
Yeah, Keith, and it's such an important question, because it, you know, we have to come back to the God who is there and the God who speaks into the midst of this situation. And of course we find that in his word. I find it helpful maybe to think maybe less just in terms of specific passages and more in terms of themes in scripture that we can pick up on. And I think if we're to think of this time that we've been through, you know, in a very general sense, just in terms of struggle and hardship, then it draws out a number of themes that can then lead us into scripture. I mean, some of the themes that come to my mind, Keith, are, for example, lament. I guess we've all been thinking a bit about lament over the last year. It's been a hard time, and it's the Psalms particularly that lead us to speak hard things, to turn honestly to God, to pour out our hearts, to pour out how we're feeling. But of course, the beautiful thing about Psalms of lament is that they're not only about expressing our hardship and our response to that, but they're then about bringing the God who meets us in that hardship into that psalm, into that song, the God who speaks, the God who acts, the God who meets us. And of course, they lead us often through to that place of trust and confidence in him. So lament would certainly be one theme. Another is testing. You know, the theme of testing in scripture, the idea there, I mean, we see it really first in the garden. We certainly see it in the wilderness in particular emerging. And of course, this last year has been a certain wilderness. It's been a place of hardship. It's been a place of deprivation. It's been a time when we've all grumbled and complained like the children of Israel. But ultimately, remember how the Lord speaks about that and says that this was a time of testing to know what was in their hearts, whether they would live by the word of God or not. And that theme of testing, I think then, you know, we can trace that right through from the wilderness. We come to it again in the New Testament, James, you know, the testing of your faith there at the beginning of James. And it's a way of framing our suffering. Grieving. Some people have known grief upon grief in this time, who have lost loved ones, particularly in this COVID time, if that has been in a hospital setting and they haven't been able to visit. There are people that have just experienced unspeakable grief, and a suffering that makes us question why, that sort of leads us into the sufferings of Christ and our fellowship with Christ in those sufferings. And I'll mention one other theme, because I think it was one that certainly as a church, I know we kind of tapped into, I think others did as well, and it's the Christ who is gentle and lowly. And there was that book that was released either last year, maybe even the year before, but seemed to really come to the fore, I think, during the pandemic, by Dean Ortlund, and just reminding us that we have a Savior that is that doesn't judge, doesn't condemn, doesn't demand, isn't harsh, but is gentle, handles you with care. And it felt to me like for people who were largely tired and stressed and burdened, they needed to know this particular characteristic of their Savior. And that seemed to be such an inviting theme for people, we felt anyway, as a church over the last year.
Yeah, and that's an excellent book by Dean Ortlund, and I think we actually have him lined up to do a wee Zoom interview after Easter, sort of to pick up some of the themes and that, and possibly to do a church-wide reading group, because it is a real blockbuster of a book.
It's so timely.
Yeah, absolutely. And even that theme of the wilderness that we've been going through, our previous sermon series here, all on that, tracing Moses, the children of Israel, Elijah, and John the Baptist, Jesus, and just seeking to see what God is saying to us.
Wonderful.
In these days. So it's great to hear that we possibly aren't off on a totally wrong track at Hamilton Road Baptist.
The Spirit has been leading, Keith.
Andy, something that you said in your introduction was about the need for intentionality. And you raised two things. You raised that we as Christians at church are all just feeling a bit weary. I certainly am, and I know many others are. And yet beyond our walls is a world that is hurting, broken. Romans says it's groaning for the new creation. I think we've heard that groaning more than ever. How can we as believers really be intentional to look out, not just for ourselves, which is really important, but to also look out for others? Give us some really helpful way, whether it's somebody struggling just with a situation, with their mental health, just ways that we can be intentional with others.
Yeah, Keith, thank you. It's, even as you asked that question, I'm thinking these things are easy to talk about, aren't they? And I'm almost convicted by the question myself, to be honest with you. But I guess, Keith, I tend to think that these things must start vertically, that even as we seek to want to move out, it must be. I think one of the main hindrances you've touched on there is that idea that we are all kind of feeling weary, discouraged, fed up at points, and that therefore that can be a kind of a disabling sort of factor for us, and almost we can use it as an excuse then, in some ways, the Lord maybe doesn't expect this of me. I think therefore we do need, even in our own discouragement and with those fed up feelings, to pour that out towards the Lord, and not feel that God somehow is too holy to hear us talk like that to him, or that he's not interested. But he does encourage us to pour out just the fullness and honesty of our hearts to him, so that he might meet us, and that in a sense, the Savior might come to the dimly burning wick that we're all feeling at the minute, and begin to fan up the feelings and the flame again. Because I think that as that happens, then the Lord does begin to transform, to shape. We do begin to see things as he sees them. We do begin to see life as he sees it. We see that movement. If we take that idea of the Psalms, from kind of the questions, through to the end, where often then there's just a differing perspective. And we all, as you quite rightly say, Keith, we need our eyes opened again to see the need that is out there, to see the world as God sees it, the God who so loved the world, who still loves the world even in this pandemic season. And in a way, how much must the heart of God be overflowing with mercy towards our people who are lost and struggling in the midst of pandemic? And we want to ourselves gain that vision. So we want the Lord to shape our thinking, want scripture to shape our thinking and our vision. And I guess then that, again, we often see this movement in the Psalms, that as that happens, often then there is even at the end of those Psalms, that there's a speaking out horizontally. There is that vision for the people. There is that vision for the congregation. There is that vision that kind of moves out horizontally. And I think Scripture not only leads us there, but also at a point invites us, encourages us, perhaps commands us as we need it, and to lift up the hands that are falling down, and to strengthen the feeble knees, and to move out, and to move toward. Sometimes that, the kind of intention that we were talking about there, it ultimately involves a choice, a decision. I need to pick up the phone to that person. I need to make that visit to drop off that thing. I need to go and try and speak to that person out of love. And I think at the minute it will feel, it will feel like effort. It will feel like lifting up hands that are falling down and strengthening feeble knees. But it will come down to that choice. But it will be from that heart that's motivated by God's heart for people.
Yeah, no, Andrew, that's so helpful. Again, because we can't just go on our own abilities, our own strengths, our own resources. We need to be that gospel-fueled people. Andrew, a year before lockdown, I just found a blog of yours online. It's talked about developing spiritual resilience. I sort of wish I had have read it a year before lockdown and applied it. In these days, Andrew, talk to us a bit about developing spiritual resilience and where that theme led you.
Yeah, thanks, Keith. If it's any comfort to you, Keith, I actually had to go back to the blog myself and remind myself what I had written. It's amazing how we can forget. We do need to be reminded. Yeah, and interestingly, when I look back even at that little article, where I had gone with that was looked at resilience. One of the things that we need to try and do is think when we when we take a term like resilience, what's the biblical kind of version of that, the biblical analog to that? How does the Bible interpret something that we call resilience today? And where my mind had been going to at that time was the idea of perseverance, endurance. And that's certainly something, isn't it, that we need now. And I think it's so interesting in scripture that whenever often the Bible talks about suffering, nearby you usually find a call to endurance, perseverance, keep going, it's one of the fruits as our faith is tested, and James certainly again talks about that, the testing of faith having its perfect work. And that's where that little blog had gone to. Interestingly though, since that time, as I've been kind of sort of mulling over this idea of resilience, I've sort of begun to think that maybe another sort of biblical analog of resilience is the idea of strength, and that because resilience at its core is the idea of a strength that allows you to keep going and persevering and even to bounce back, which is one of the big ideas in resilience. And what I find that as you look in the Bible for that idea of that theme of strength, often you find weakness nearby. I suppose it's not that surprising when you think about it. And you also find that strength is a fruit of our faith again in God. It begins vertically, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. And then we go forward. And I felt that, in our world today, as we talk about resilience, there's a lot of good advice out there, a lot of good common grace advice. It's along the lines of physically look after yourselves, look after your body, do activity, be out. It's kind of messages we were all getting throughout lockdown to look after ourselves, keep in touch with people, be thankful, take on a new kind of hobby. Those are things that would keep us going, give us resilience. Good advice, but yet for a believer, ultimately that strength is found vertically in the Lord. But also, it's in the midst of weakness. We shouldn't be afraid of weakness. And it's interesting, even in the secular world, those ideas are coming out. There's a lot of talk now about vulnerability and, not being afraid to share your vulnerability. For us, the version of that is, I think, that God's strength is made perfect in our weakness, and that in a sense we are called to, we're allowed to be weak, that the power of Christ will rest on us. So those are some of the directions that those thoughts have been going in, Keith, over the last while. Yeah,
no, that's again so helpful, because I think we are all feeling weak, and even our ladies are currently doing that Bible study. God does his best with empty. It's a book by Nancy Guthrie. He takes this theme of emptiness that people feel throughout scripture, and the fact that God did use these people so well and so powerfully.
Wonderful.
So again, it's just great to hear you sort of reinforcing and helping us just think through that we do need our relationship with the Lord to be good for these days. As we seek to sort of connect Christ to the wider culture and to our groups of friends, even as you talked about people who are going through possibly abuse, people who are going through just the frustrations of homeschool, the frustrations of government restrictions, the frustration of being furloughed, the frustrations of being redundant. How can we connect in sort of everyday conversations, Christ, God's truth and his word, to their situations? It's, if people feeling it's okay for Andrew. He can do it in a counseling session. People know what they're coming to. But as I talked to Jimmy over the fence, who's complaining about Arlene and Michelle, not that anybody's doing that, or other situations, how can we speak Christ, connect Christ to the culture that people find themselves in?
Well, that's a good question, Keith, and I'm sure it'll be an inadequate answer. And who would complain about Arlene and Michelle? But I'll sum it up in two ideas and just enlarge briefly on them. We want to know the person, and we want to know Scripture, and we want to connect the two. And how then can we, and in a sense, that's all ministry, in a sense, you know, all ministry can almost be boiled down to that, even very the informal conversation. So Jimmy over the fence, you know, we want to get into conversation. We want to move towards them, you know, albeit 2 meters distance, but, you know, we want to move towards them. And we want to know him. So you're going to get into conversation, you're going to listen, okay? And, you know, again, these are such basic things, but it's worth reminding ourselves. And as we're listening, we want to, you know, listen out for particularly the struggles, you know, in these days. I mean, listen for what's good, you know, and share in what's good that Jimmy is saying with you, but listen for the struggles, listen for the emotions. Listen for those times when he seems to be expressing, you know, being fed up or not being bothered, or, you know, this could all get to you, or, you know, because it's those little comments that we can kind of pick up on. And if we notice them, you know, it depends a bit on our degree of relationship with the person, but then we want to try and get a bit deeper on some of that, you know. So tell me, how's it really been going? How's this all really been affecting you, you know? And I mean, it might be if it's just Jimmy over the fence, and if he knows about your faith, you know, it might be a time for you to either testify in the sense of just sharing how you've been doing and how as a Christian you've been helped or sustained, even in a simple way. Or even if he knows you're a Christian and it doesn't seem too clunky to do it, even to ask, you know, how you can be praying, or even to let him know that you'll be praying, you know, if there's a particular situation, because it might lead you into some more difficult things. If it's another believer, then of course, you know, you can go a little bit more directly down those trails. You know, and I mean, wonderful, you know, especially if it's a couple of believers that are in the same church that have been hearing the same ministry, that have been catching up in the same live stream or YouTube stream, that have been at the same Bible study, like some of the ones you've mentioned there, where they can, as they're discussing everyday life, they've got that common exposure to Scripture that they've had, that they can then pick up on. What did you think of what Keith preached on Sunday? You know,
that's going to be that question, Andrew.
It could go in a completely wrong direction, couldn't it, Keith? You know, but you know, they've got that, you know, the women's Bible studies, who have been kind of really touching on some wonderful truth there. It's so ripe for drawing into their everyday conversations. That's the beautiful thing, I think, about these kind of conversations within churches. Beyond that, if you're picking up on, I mean, again, some of those themes, whether it's kind of grieving, loss, whether it's, you know, anxiety and fear, whether it's even grumbling or complaining, always a wee bit harder to speak to in a way that doesn't kind of feel too condemning for the person. But those things, the Scripture is just so rich with those things. And even if you feel that you don't want to come in and say something like, you know, the Bible says you shouldn't grumble, you know, which can often kind of bring a conversation to an abrupt end. You know, another way around that is, look, how, How can I be praying for you? And even, you know, yeah, we're all feeling a bit fed up at the minute, aren't we? You know, getting to that point of we in the conversation, not just, you know, it's a pity you're struggling with your grumbling and I never do kind of thing. And I'll make one last comment, Keith, because you did allude to it just in your question. I'm thinking as well that, as you say, people might come across more complex situations. You know, we did mention about things like abuse and relationship tensions that just are developing and growing at this time. If you're picking up on things like that, I mean, just always, you know, certainly listen more. You know, if you feel able, ask one more question. If you're concerned, widen the circle, seek help. Ask the person, you know, should I be worried about you? Should I be concerned about what you're saying? You know, because there may be some situations, not that you want to take all of that onto yourself, but it may be just a flag for you to go to someone in church leadership or seek help, you know, widen the circle from someone else who knows the situation. But those are just some ideas that come to mind.
Thank you, Andrew. I think these days as we are out and about, even as lockdown eases, but the conversations, certainly in the last period of easing of restrictions, there's a lot more talking to people over the fence, or just general people looking for community. I think just realizing that we are made for community, and people who possibly haven't felt that, the opportunity now for Christians to be encouraging that community. I'm very challenged about it, just even where I live. And then other circles I'm in, sort of old friends that have all become a bit isolated, that the chance just to bring community, it's a common grace thing, but it's then ultimately putting them to Christ. So that's been helpful to think through, because I think as we try to connect Christ and culture, we all have a role to play, don't we? And it isn't just a theological thing for us to think about or to consider, but it's something for us to get our hands dirty and our time involved in. But Andrew, as we come to the end of this conversation, as we seek to apply Christ to culture, one big thing that's happening in culture today is the rollout of the vaccinations, and even just going to the doctor for medical help. There was a lot of talk earlier on about should you get a vaccine or not. We aren't going to go there. I think that's people's own decision. Lots of people are. Of course, I think it's great because we need to get out of lockdown. But talk to us, Andrew, about the balance, about not putting our hope in the vaccine, or not putting our hope in the tablets, or not putting our hope in the medical help, but putting our hope in God. Talk to us about that balance. Yeah. And any thoughts on the vaccination as well?
Thanks, Keith. Yeah, it's interesting as you say there, Keith, just about that idea of Christ and culture. It just, when I think about culture, you know, I think about, it's part of the situation that we live in that we are responding to all the time, and you know, a big part of the culture are the cultural voices that are coming at us. You know, the ideas, the themes, the beliefs, the philosophies, the you know, the prevailing kind of mindset that's all coming at us, and it creates a lot of voices then that speak into the lives of Christians, voices that can sometimes be good but can sometimes then compete with scripture, and I think one of those voices is about the you know, the authority of science. You know, again, one of the ways it's been expressed so much during the pandemic is we're being led by the science. You know, it's kind of, we've heard that phrase too often.
What science?
That's right. Indeed, I know. We're being led by the science, but it reflects the idea that you know, we do elevate the idea of science, you know, to quite a high degree. And of course, there's a great benefit in it all. There's a huge amount of common grace, you know, in that world. And of course, they are interpreting the created world and observing and testing and experimenting and bringing about a lot of good things to help us. And so in many ways, we're very grateful for the science. And, you know, we are embodied. Part of our theology is that we are embodied souls, as scripture teaches us, and our bodies are fallen and they are returning to the dust. And so our bodies need help and relief and rest and treatment in all kinds of ways, you know, everything from our sleep and our food, right through to, you know, specialist care, medication, surgery, and so forth. And I would tend to then, you know, see even specifically the whole sort of area of vaccines in that kind of light. I know that that there are some controversies. There are people who, you know, take great care in thinking about these things, and that's important and good. I think you're absolutely right about, you know, people making up their own mind, and there's a kind of a Romans 14 sort of thing there, isn't there, where whatever people do, they're doing it to the Lord, and that's kind of the important. They're making their own minds up before the Lord, and that's kind of the key thing. But generally speaking, I would see vaccines and more broadly all treatments and medications as an example of common grace gifts that are given towards our fallen bodies, and we receive them with gratitude, knowing that these bodies, at the end of the day, our bodies are just instruments of worship, you know. And because they are instruments to love God and love neighbor, they're the main instrument that we use to do that, then we want to keep them, preserve them, look after them. That's our motivation for doing that. And we're thankful then to God for any common grace gifts that allow us to do that, medication, vaccines of any kind, whatever they are. But they are gifts, and our dependence is not on the gift, but on the giver. And our thankfulness for the gift is to the giver. And our faith and our hope ultimately are in the giver of the gifts. Because our bodies are ultimately returning to the dust, you know, to be thankfully renewed with bodies that will never catch any viruses forever and ever. So that's the kind of framework, Keith, that I would sort of think about these things in. And I guess then the practical stuff comes out of that, you know.
That's very helpful, Andrew. I was talking to somebody just a few days ago who had their vaccine and they were so delighted to get it. And yet a week later hit a real low because life had not really changed. And a really good person, you know, but just sharing so openly and honestly that a week on, from the jubilation and it just reminded me once again that our hope is not in the vaccine, but in the God behind all true science and the God behind, you know, he made this stars also, you know, he hangs everything just right. And incredible for us just in these days to be focused again, to put our hope in God. Amen. And Andrew, it's been so good to talk to you today. And for those who want to go further into sort of applying God's truth to their lives today, sort of the biblical counseling, how to nearly get better at counseling people from a biblical framework, what are some of the resources that people could get a hold of, some of the websites, what a Biblical Counseling UK that you're part of doing in these days that people can tap into as they seek to go on from this interview to learn more and to develop?
Thanks, Keith. Yeah, so Biblical Counselling UK, BC UK, their website is biblicalcounselling.org.uk. We've just developed, actually, put together some of blog pieces and articles into a kind of a COVID world kind of section, which again just helps us to think about how you respond in our current setting. Biblically to what we're facing, and there's some helpful articles there. And then our big brother organization, CCEF in America, CCEF.org, and they also have a kind of a COVID section again. But again, really, Keith, just you're seeing in there, you know, just helpful articles, kind of week by week blog pieces. There was one I haven't read it. I just scanned down it that came out yesterday. Ed Welch had written on something along the lines of how scripture meets us in our lifelessness. And I thought, oh, lifelessness, that just kind of describes us to some degree in these days as well. And so great resources there. And then, of course, yeah, that just opens a door for a lot of the literature that you'll see sort of advertised on those websites, the books. Just some of the recent, the one or two that are coming out, actually, Mike Emlett is going to be writing one on saints, sinner, sufferers, or has written, and it's coming out shortly, which I think will be really helpful to us as we think about people and how they and how we respond to life as well. So yeah, those are kind of the main doorways in. You can study as well with BCUK and CCF, and there are modules running and a certificate course and so forth. And I would love people to think about those things too.
Well, Andrew, today has given us a sort of taster for what some of those courses could be. And I think hopefully there will be those who go further into the articles, the books, which are also available from even the bookshop that will be highlighting at the end. And then some of the courses will have some of the links of those as well. Andrew, thank you for all of your time, all of your wisdom that you have shared, and God bless you as you go on from here.
Keith, it's been such a pleasure, and blessings to you and just to the whole church family there at HRBC as well.
Thanks.
Well, I hope you've been encouraged by what Andrew's had to share with us this evening, as I have been. And if you'd like to know more about the resources that Andrew's been talking about, you can find those at ccef.org, which has got such an array of great wisdom and literature that you can tap into. So do join us again next week as we continue to make this journey of going deeper into the Word and how it makes a difference in our everyday lives. God bless you.